Hello everyone, it's Father Jim. I'm making some noises about our Lord's prayer book, which is the Psalms. And if he would pray the Psalms, as we know he did, so, well, perhaps he invites us to join in his prayer to his Father from these inspired poems. And I was looking, first of all, at the Psalms of Praise, where the chorus is Hallel, praise, to Yahweh, hallelujah. And the great motives for praise were because his hesed is emet, two very important Old Testament words, his love is everlasting. And I pointed out that hesed is unbought, unmerited love. So we don't have to get God to love us because we're loved into being. You only have to pinch yourself. And God loves us, that's why we exist. But sometimes we spend our time trying to get God to love us. Our problem is allowing ourselves to be loved. That's where we're so hard to get. Like Adam, we sort of hide from God because we can't believe that we're loved into being. And emet is the basis of the word amen, means founded on rock, unshakable. God doesn't change. I remember when I was a child thinking at 1 minute to three on Good Friday God was cross, and at 1 minute past three he was pleased, and I thought, gosh, fancy sentencing his son to death. What sort of a God is that? The word emet is unshakable. God doesn't change. It's we who change if we allow ourselves to be loved, you see. And the other motives for praise were the creation, that we've looked at a bit, and the covenant. And that the fact our God is different to our idols. So here in Psalm 135, first of all, there's an invitation to everyone around. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh who serve him. This is the invitation, all those who serve him. Those who are serving in the house of Yahweh, in other words, all the people in the temple and in the courts of the house of our God. This is obviously a temple psalm where somebody is coming in, inviting the whole staff of the temple to join him in his praise. Why? Praise Yahweh, for Yahweh's good. Play for his name, for he inspires love, all you orchestras. Sometimes I, you know, have played the piano for the Lord. It's my prayer. God has chosen Jacob, if you please, and Israel as his own. And this individual is now going to testify before everyone. I've learnt for myself that Yahweh is great, that our Lord surpasses all other gods. In the heavens and on the earth, in the ocean, in the depths, Yahweh's will is sovereign. He raises up clouds from the boundaries of earth, makes the lightning flash from the downpour, and brings the wind out of his storehouse. Oh, that's so beautiful. And then something from the history that God seems to have been on Israel's side. Yahweh, your name endures forever. Your memory is always fresh. He cares for those who serve him. Whereas pagans' idols in silver and gold, products of human skill, have mouths but never speak. Eyes but never see, ears but never hear, and not a breath in their mouths. Their makers will end up like them, and so will anyone who relies on them. O house of Israel, bless Yahweh. House of Aaron, bless Yahweh. House of Levi, bless Yahweh. You who fear Yahweh, bless Yahweh. Blessed be Yahweh in Zion, in Jerusalem, his home. There's somebody witnessing his praise for God. So, like most psalms, it starts with an invitation and then gives motives for praising God. That's Psalm 135. And a psalm like that would be Psalm 115, you might like to look at, where God of Israel is compared to pagan gods. So it makes me wonder, what are Father Jim's idols? Well, I'm intelligent enough not to make things to worship. But if I am a temple where the Holy Spirit wishes to dwell, I hope the high altar is dedicated to the one true God. I hope. But I do know there are all sorts of other idols. I won't embarrass you by telling them what they are. Those things I put before God, whether it's property or riches or good name or reputation or... And it's worth us asking ourselves, if the Lord wants to clear the temple of idols, what are those things all of us have that stop us being loved by God and stop us living as if we're sons and daughters of the Most High? So now I'd like to say something about psalms of thanksgiving. It's a very attractive thing, thanksgiving. Our Lord was so grateful when one leper came back to thank him for his cure. Our Lord was disappointed what's happened to the other nine, but was so grateful himself that one had come back. And he spent his time thanking his Father. Father, I thank you for the work you've given to me. I thank you for the glory you have given me before the foundation of the world. I thank you for the friends you've given to me. They're yours and you've given them to me. And our Lord is so easy to please. He said, if you've given a cup of water to anybody, they ring the bells in heaven, they have a day off, a celebration. If one sinner comes back, again, they have a jubilee in heaven. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. I wish I could say the same about me. So I hope you'll pray for me. Wouldn't it be lovely if all Christians could say, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'm easy to please. So often we grumble. Somebody gives me a small cup of coffee and I think, why wasn't it a bigger one? I'm not thinking of anyone particular now, but I know I've looked at one or two people's faces and more or less said to the divine potter, should have gone back to the reject shop. God says, thanks, Jim. Thank you. I was giving myself 10 out of 10 for that person. Who are you to mark me and mark me down? And we're always thinking what we haven't got instead of being grateful for what we have. It's part of what the world's about. Everyone's dissatisfied. Many people have reason to be dissatisfied, I know, of course. But sometimes we don't count our blessings. And so in the Psalms of Thanksgiving, there are all sorts of reasons why people are invited to thank God. First of all, because his hesed is emet, his love is everlasting. And some of the thank you psalms are private and some are common, community psalms. And they're usually based on some liturgical event in the temple. People might have had many things to thank God for, but they thought they'd wait until the next pilgrimage up to Jerusalem. And then they'd be able to, in public, witness to the problems they've had and how God has redeemed them in some way and present their thanks offering. So these psalms usually begin with an invitation to join me in my thanksgiving. And then the person, the soloist, would tell his story. And then there might be advice given. And then after the burnt offering was offered in the temple, then there'd be a sort of celebration thank you meal. And this very much is a paradigm of what the Mass is, when we remember Jesus took the bread and thanked God and fed them. Amen.